leads to a healthy tree. So, did I accomplish my mission? Do you feel confident planting a tree now? Do you want to chat through some steps here? You know you can call me, 503-233-X-RAY. Text in 971-220-KXRY. We will talk a little bit more about transplanting after our interview here. But in general, those trees that we just talked about, they're going to take a while to grow. So we're going to take a break. And when you come back, I will share my favorite place in town to get my tree fix while we're waiting for those to grow. You are listening to Garden Party on X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland. Welcome back to Garden Party on KXRY Portland, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. That was In the Woods by Norwegian folk duo Darlin West. And In the Woods, other than in the studio, is one of my favorite places to be. If you tuned in last Monday, you heard me talk about the brain benefits of spending time in nature. You can catch that archive on xray.fm if you missed that one. But it's really, really important for our brains, for our bodies, not just to get outside, but specifically to get outside amongst the trees. And one of my very favorite places to walk amongst the trees in Portland, as a self-described plant nerd, of course, is the Hoyt Arboretum. So I'm thrilled, so excited today to welcome Hoyt Arboretum curator Martin Nicholson to Garden Party. Martin, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. Good afternoon. Hi, good afternoon. So, you know, we always start with one question for our Garden Party guests, and I'm imagining that your answer to this will be quite lengthy. So my first question is, how long have you been gardening, and how did you get your start?
I grew up on a farm, and my grandmother was on the farm where it was a family farm, and she always had a pretty big garden. We always grew vegetables, and I can actually probably, I don't know, at like maybe 7 or 8, entering like the flower show with flowers we'd picked from my grandmother's garden. So we'd have to do arrangements to like enter into the show, and I could win. I discovered that if I won, I got actual cash money prizes, and as much as like $1.75. You know, it was a pretty big deal.
Oh yeah.
So it was a good motivator as a young kid to like, you know, look through all the things in her garden and pick things out to enter into the flower shows and things. And so, yeah, we just, and then planting trees on the farm was always a ongoing practice as well. So yeah, from pretty much as early as I can remember, always been outdoors and either in the garden or on the farm, working with plants. Yeah.
And now you've translated that into something very cool. Tell us where you garden now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate to have been at the Hoyt Arboretum in Portland here for 18 years in this. And so, yeah, Hoyt Arboretum is a part of the Portland Parks and Recreation System. It's a 200-acre park. We're found up in Washington Park, just past the zoo. If you go to the Oregon Zoo and keep driving uphill, you get to where the Arboretum is, and 4000 Fairview Boulevard. And yeah, the Arboretum's a global tree collection. We have about 2,300 taxa of trees from all over the world, and cover a range of different species, and everybody can always find a favorite.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's probably hard to pick a favorite. For me, it probably depends on the type of season or the, you know, the time of year that we're in. As a plant nerd, as I said, I visit a lot of botanical gardens, but the Hoyt Arboretum, it's not just any botanical garden, right? Like your focus is trees. So tell us, like, why would trees warrant their own showcase? What's special about trees?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one because there is arboreta sort of scattered around the country that have, you know, a specialty in woody plant material, or, you know, specifically trees. But, you know, I'm always amazed, you know, starting about 1915, there was sort of this goal to have an arboretum in Portland, and folks were starting to work on it. It wasn't officially designated until 1928. But just the vision, you know, at that time to gather all these trees from around the world and start to plant them out. You know, a lot of what we enjoy today are, you know, 50 to 100-year-old trees that are, you know, were part of this vision from the Duncan Plan, which was in 1930. And it just really, like, utilized the landscape, the hills, and put in, you know, the trees to create this sort of forest. But it's, you know, not just the standard Pacific Northwest forest, although some places through the Arboretum really feel like that. But yeah, trees have a, I think, you know, they're sort of the, like, the backbone of the garden, I suppose, are the thing that is long lasting in our landscapes. So that's one of the reasons I think it's good to call them out. And again, they're great for a big park space because, you know, not everyone, you know, in your average garden, you have enough space for maybe 5 trees, you know, and sometimes not even that many. And so having the opportunity to see a lot of these tree species in their full size, how they would grow, you know, unhindered, is not something that we can really achieve in our garden spaces. So I think that's why arboretums sort of have a special role in what botanic gardens do. They're just to call out those bigger trees and have that longer term, like, landscape.
One of my favorite things is coming to visit trees that are much, much older than I am, for sure. And you called out that the Hoyt Arboretum was founded in 1928. So, you know, has surely lived through many versions of Portland. And, you know, tell us, like, how has it changed over time? What have you learned about the world, and, you know, through these trees?
Yeah, I think there's some trees in the Arboretum that are over 200 years old. We're not 100% sure of their age. There's definitely a small corner of the Arboretum where there were trees that, for one reason or another, whether it was land ownership or access, you know, weren't cut down when most of the trees in Portland were cut down. So through the, you know, by 1895, you know, the majority of the West Hills had all the trees removed. And so most of the Douglas firs and things we see across the Arboretum and the West Hills are kind of younger than that.
Mm.
So they're 100-year-old trees. And then we have the sort of just the transitions of the plantings. And the Arboretum initially was much smaller than it is today. It was about 150 acres. And then it's had some land added to it over time. There used to be a West Hills golf course that was part of one side of the Arboretum that was a little pitch and putt, kind of where the Vietnam Veterans Memorial is. And that was added into the Arboretum as well. And a few other smaller like pieces around. And then, yeah, just the some transitioning, you know, as trees mature, we found parts of the Arboretum are very shady now that I think in the original plans were probably more open to the sun. So we've moved some of the collections to places that are sunnier. But then we're also seeing the climate effect on some of the tree species that were selected as well. So our hemlock collection in particular, our western hemlocks, Canadian hemlocks, don't really like summer drought. And so we're finding that like those extended dry summers that we're experiencing are really impacting like the health of a certain species. And so the challenge is up for, you know, what do we grow so that in 100 years from now, the Arboretum is still, you know, a spectacular place to visit, and what trees do we need to select, you know, for that next 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking at the tools and things available to start to make those decisions.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about how you choose what to plan if you're making a change or when you are expanding into a new area. What's your selection process like?
Yeah, sometimes we have lists of things we're sort of looking for. Sometimes opportunities come along for, especially if there's a species that needs conservation. You know, one of the roles of botanic gardens and arboretum is to conserve species. So if we find we have the opportunity to grow out a plant that maybe, you know, is particularly imperiled in its actual native range, so something we call ex situ conservation. So it's basically taking something out of the situation it grows in and just preserving it, which is sort of a role that I think botanic gardens and arboretum have always served. So sometimes we'll grow something because of that. We're also using, there's some climate assessment tools that we're using through the bigger, like global organization, like everything, this, all these little acronyms that go along with different like industries, and botanic gardens have that too, but BGCI is our Botanic Gardens Conservation International. They're an organization that works with gardens around the world, and they've sort of created a set of tools that we can compare the trees we're currently growing to climate models and predictions about what the climate might be like in 30 years, 50 years, and 90 years. And then when we look at new species we would like to add, we can also evaluate them through those tools. And that just helps us make good choices so that we're, at least if we know there's a limiting factor, so if we know a plant needs additional water, we can kind of start to make some ideas about, you know, are we able to provide the additional water for that plant? Is it important? If the conservation of the species means we need to provide an extra 2 or 3 inches of water over the summer months to that tree in order for it to survive in Portland, then we have to rationalize that out against the resources we have available. So it's kind of, I mean, it's sort of in a lot of ways what people do in their own gardens, right? We're just doing it on a slightly bigger scale.
Yeah, well, a much bigger scale compared to most Portland yards, that's for sure. And tell us about the irrigation. You know, how much are you bringing in water versus relying on the natural environment?
The majority, yeah, we're a 200-acre site, only about 7-8 acres that actually has irrigation, like, fixed in place, like traditional, what we think is an irrigated site. A lot of the arboretum is accessible with some hoses and sort of quick couplers. We have a lot of our regular year-round volunteer, our Tuesday crew volunteers that do some hand watering on species. But our target is, you know, a new plant through establishment, we're going to hand water that either with the water cart or with the hoses for the first 2 or 3 years. And then really, you know, we're looking for plants that are going to survive summer drought conditions, are going to be you know, good outdoors plants for the Portland climate. You know, we wrap a few things when it gets really cold. Maybe put a bucket over something to protect it under very extreme cold winters. So we really want to be growing plants that are going to survive, you know, once they're established with very little additional input. And things that require a lot of summer water just might not be suitable for the Portland climate.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great opportunity for all of us home gardeners to get out there and see what a tree looks like when it is mature, see what works well here. You know, it's an opportunity to learn because is this sign up that it's a living museum? The Arboretum?
So, I mean, an Arboretum is tree museum. So, you know, we always sort of make that contrast with a traditional museum that is curated, but it's maybe a non-living thing. So for Botanic Gardens and Arboretum, you know, we're a curated collection, and only we're a collection of living things. So it adds some different complexities, other issues along the way, but it's constantly changing. We're always bringing in new plants, and some of the bigger, older trees, sometimes they're you know, reach the end of their lifespan during the time we're managing them. So
we're 1 week into autumn here for those who are listening live, and I feel like fall is the best time to garden. It's especially a great time to plant and plant trees, and that's what I was talking about in the beginning of the episode here and giving listeners some tips. What's your crew working on right now? What does maintenance look like?
Yeah, you're 100% right. It's a great time to plant in Portland in the fall. Soil temperatures are really good. We've got guaranteed rain ahead of us. You know, it's always the catch in the spring when you're trying to get planting done, and, you know, you run into April and suddenly the rain stops, you know. And so nice thing in September and October, we've still got great soil temperatures. We've got plenty of rain ahead of us. And so we're working on we have a large volunteer arborist event that happens at the start of September, so we're doing a lot of brush cleanup from that event, and then we're rolling over into planting and just going through the nursery, finding out all the things that are finally big enough to get planted out, and we'll probably plant maybe an additional 20 or 30 trees this fall, and get them all settled in for the winter with some good mulch over the top.
You're doing it right. And, you know, see, listeners, you can get out there. You can learn from probably the best in town. And it sounds like people can come volunteer at the Arboretum. What does that look like?
Yeah, we have a lot of volunteer opportunities. We have a standing regular Tuesday crew that happens year-round on Tuesday from 8 in the morning until about 11:30. And then we have Saturday crew. We have a few more weeks in our fall Saturday crew. That runs from 9 till noon. And folks can find out about all the information on our website, so hoytarboretum.org. And there is a link on there to find out about volunteering, fill in information, and see about upcoming work parties. And then we also do a lot of work with, like, corporate groups as well. So we have a lot of folks from companies that put together their own groups, and they'll contact and come out and work for the day. And, you know, like, sometimes we're putting down mulch, sometimes we're putting in some little plants, or sometimes we're doing, you know, just general cleanup of invasive species, a lot of blackberry ivy removal and things to keep a 200-acre site looking, you know, tolerable at least, yeah.
That's free healthcare, Portland. Get out there, get in the woods, get your hands dirty. Seriously, it's like, you know, you get your mind right, you get your body right. So it's free healthcare. It sounds like every Tuesday.
Free healthcare. And there's nothing better, honestly, than getting out and getting a few hours outside. And I know for a lot of folks, you know, their workday looks a lot different. And so people just really enjoy those days that they come out and kind of see what the outdoor work looks like. And really, we appreciate everybody's energies, as we have so many regular volunteers and one-time volunteers that, you know, without that support, the Arboretum would not look the way it does today, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, with autumn being the best time to plant trees, it's also, in my opinion, the best time to look at trees. So what should visitors expect at the Arboretum right now if they're coming out and taking a walk?
Yeah, one of the things our media person put together is a little calendar, sort of full color, and so you can find that through our website as well. It kind of helps to keep people updated on kind of where full color is happening. You know, one of the unique things, because we have so many different tree species, our full colour season is very long. So some things are already showing really great full colour. I mean, I've seen some spectacular vine maples in amongst some of the wooded areas already that are just so bright red. And then a lot of our more later deciduous trees, some of our liquid amber, the sweet gums, they really don't have peak fall colour till maybe the late last week in November into December even. But we kind of peak around, it was about the 20th of October, the 2 or 3 weeks around that date are probably some of the peak fall colour through the maple collection. And just the range of different species we grow. There's so many different times the arboretum looks spectacular. But yeah, the fall is a favorite for sure.
Do you have a favorite spot that you're willing to share?
Oh, I mean, the best fall color tree, in my opinion, is the American smoke tree, Cotinus obovatus. And the one in the arboretum is pretty large. It's about 25 feet tall and about 25 feet across. And when it hits its peak color, it is absolutely spectacular. The oranges, the reds, the yellows, and the foliage is really remarkable. So that's always my favorite. And it's an essential stop on a tour of the arboretum. And sort of, you know, anything after about the 10th of October, that tree is going to have just a range of colors showing.
Well, that is where I'm going to go next time I come. I will wave a friendly wave to your volunteers if I'm there at the same time. And really, really grateful for you joining us today. And Garden Party listeners, I hope you get out to the Hoyt as well. It is a gift to our city. Thank you so much, Martin.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
All right.
Appreciate the time.
Happy Monday.
Tell me how you're feeling.
Welcome back to Garden Party on X-Ray FM. And that, if you are a fellow Eurovision fan, as I am, of course you will hear Dottie Frayer's wonderful voice in that. That's with, I don't know if it's Louis or Louis Futon. And that's a new single that I found out there. It's called Number One Feeling, which is how good I feel when I get to answer your questions as Master Gardener. So this is the time for them, 971-220-KXRY. That's 5979. So I see a question in the queue here. Should you add, we were talking about planting trees, folks, should you add compost to the planting hole? So no, the answer there is no. So as I was talking about before, you want to put the native soil back in that planting hole. That will encourage the roots not to just sort of stop at the edge of the hole that you dug, but really extend it in the soil. But what you should do with the compost is mulch on top of where you planted that tree, then consider adding, you know, a layer of wood wood chips on top of that, that will really improve the composition of the soil, the organic matter within the soil, without restricting the root growth. So compost goes on top. Of course, you're going to look for that root color, that little sort of nub on the trunk that I taught you about, so you are not over mulching, you're not going to end up drowning that tree. But no, do not put compost right in the planting hole. Now, I also see this question that I mentioned before, tips on transplanting a young tree. So transplanting instead of planting is going to be more difficult. And I would say it depends on how young. If it really has not had a ton of time to establish its roots, if it's only been in the ground for 1 year, your likelihood of being able to transplant that tree is going to be higher. I would say the older the tree, the older the tree, the less likely it will survive being transplanted, because you can mess with the roots a little bit, as I said, but if you're really cutting off thick established roots, there's a high chance that that tree will not recover. So this is why it's so important to do your planting up front. Think about where that tree is going to be. Try and plant it right and plant it once. Now, I will say I did transplant a dogwood in my yard, and what was successful about that is that it was very, very young. I did get that as a bare root plant. I got that as a whip from, I think, the Sparrowhawk sale. So it was really, really, really young, hadn't had a ton of time to extend its roots out into the soil. I had also planted it in soil that, and this is why I transplanted it, I thought over time, you know, this is a little bit sandier than I think this should be. I don't think I really put this in the right place. So I was able to correct my mistake before, and it sounds like you've got a pear tree that you want to transplant that you think would be happier. But again, it depends on how young. I would say if you think that that tree has had a chance to really spread its roots, you're going to have to dig very, very wide and very, very deep. It's going to be a lot of manual labor to transplant that tree, because you want to, you know, be able to move and get up as many of those roots as possible. So I would say it depends on how young, of course. Thankfully, you've got an Oregon State University Extension Master Gardener, whatever county you are in, they should be able to help you out there. Send them pictures, send them information on how long that tree has been there. Maybe get some advice on where you think it would be happier, what's going on with it that makes you think it's not happy. These are all the kinds of questions that I would ask you if you are calling me as a master gardener. And of course, if you're here in the Portland area, you can get in touch with us at metromastergardeners.org. If you are listening from the coast or if you're listening online, start with your county extension. That's where you are always going to find a master gardener who is here to give you free guidance. You know, that's what we are charged with, whether it's by Oregon State here in Oregon or your local land grant university, wherever you are. One thing that I want to share about the Hoyt Arboretum in my final minute here, we just heard from Martin, who is the curator there, and I hope that encouraged you to get out there. But I have a favorite, one of my favorite trees that's out there, and that's the ginkgo biloba. So not a native tree. I know you're probably surprised that that's one of my faves. Great fall color on the ginkgo, but there's like this very famous ginkgo that they have over there that switched sexes, right? So really cool. So it came to the arboretum as a male tree. This is a type of tree. Sometimes there's monoecious or dioecious plants, and dioecious is they're separate male and female plants and flowers. So it came to the arboretum as a male tree, and then all of a sudden it started to produce female fruits. So isn't that cool? So, you know, even plants can, maybe change their gender there. So what can we learn? What can we learn from the natural native world? Well, this was Garden Party. I hope I see you at the Arboretum. Friends is Noise is coming up next, so keep it dialed to X-Ray. And we'll see you next time. Radio is yours. Got to the Garden Party. They all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the
same, but it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
Support for X-Ray FM comes from North Coast Pinball, Nehalem's Little Pinball Sanctuary, located on Highway 101 next to North Coast Mudworks. North Coast Pinball offers monthly tournaments and a selection of games from the 1970s to the present. Learn more at northcoastpinball.com.
You're listening to KXRY Portland at 91.1 FM. It is now 2 p.m., and for frequent listeners, you know what that means. From now till the sun rises tomorrow, it'll be nothing but music with some of our local music and DJs from our own backyard.
You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY, Portland at 91.1 and at 107.1 FM, and on the coast in Nehalem, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Also on KXRW Vancouver at 99.9 FM and streaming online and on demand at xray.fm and kxrw.fm. Welcome to Friends of Noise Presents, an hour of music curated by youth DJs for listeners of all ages. Friends of Noise is a nonprofit that promotes an all-ages music scene and creates pathways for those that are under 21 to participate in our regional music ecosystem. Info about Friends of Noise can be found at www.friendsofnoise.org. Hey, this is Andre Middleton, the Executive Director of Friends of Noise, subbing in for our youth DJs this week. We've got a special show filled with nothing but Raids Against the Machine. So buckle up and listen in.
Complacent, the D, the E, the F, the I, the A, the N, the C, the E, find the of which are American dreams. All of which are American dreams. All of which are American dreams.
The sisters are in to check the front line.